This is Hackberry House of Chosun, sermonaudio.com. My name is Bob, and as you know, we're going through the Bible. Right now we're in Jeremiah, asking some interesting and sometimes difficult questions. Jeremiah 22, verses 10 through 12. What trip to Egypt is the Lord talking about here? Let's go over there. Since you've got your Bible out, and so do I, reading Jeremiah 22, verse 10. Do not weep for the dead or mourn for him, says God, but weep continually for the one who goes away, for he'll never return or see his native land. Who is this? For thus says the Lord in regard to Shalom, that's Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who became king in the place of Josiah, his father, who went forth from this place, and he went to Egypt. He'll never return there, but in the place where they led him captive, there he will die and not see this land again. What's he talking about? Well, it's been a while since we went through 2 Kings. Remember, we've been going through the whole Bible, and we were in 2 Kings and read this story, but in the 23rd chapter of that book, we're told the incident of which Jeremiah is speaking right here. Josiah, the righteous king, has just been killed by Pharaoh Necho. Now the first son of Josiah, Shalom, or Jehoahaz, becomes the king. He is an evil man. And the Lord used that same Pharaoh Necho to first imprison him and then allow him to die in Egypt, so that Jehoiakim, also known as Eliakim, became the next king, the one that Jeremiah is dealing with in our present study. So just that little bit of note. So as you're reading along, you're wondering, who is he talking about? What's going on? And that's what's going on. How about Jeremiah 22, same chapter, verse 30. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who will not prosper in his days. For no man of his descendants will prosper sitting on the throne of David or ruling again in Judah. Now we got a problem here. The sons of Josiah are in the royal bloodline of David. That line was supposed to go to Jesus Christ, was it not? Here we're told that no descendant of Coniah, who is Jeconiah, who is the grandson of Josiah, no descendant will ever sit on the throne of David. God is fed up. Well, 1 Kings 11 actually describes the beginning of the fall of this particular line. Wait a minute, isn't this the line of David? No, it's the line of Solomon. The line of David is secure, but the line of Solomon, as far as the throne is concerned, is not secure. You can trace kings from Solomon all the way to Jeconiah, right here. But we come to a dead end, as you see by what he says here. There'll be no more kings of Israel or Judah after this sorry excuse for a royal person, Coniah. But still the lineage continues. And yet it dead ends again. Where? In Joseph, the foster father of Jesus. He didn't give his blood to Jesus. His genealogy, his genes. But though one could make a case of legality here, because he was the man in charge of the house, it's not the lineage that we should be looking at. Because Solomon had a brother. That brother's name was Nathan. If you read the genealogy of Luke, he traces the lineage of Jesus through Nathan. And you go down through Nathan and you'll get to Mary. And that way you will get to Jesus. And that is the bloodline. The bloodline is intact. Jesus is the true Son of David, an inheritor of the throne of that David also. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, talks about a branch that is coming. The days are coming when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. Who's the branch? Well, probably not by coincidence, the prophecy of Jeremiah suddenly turns from an heirless Coniah to the heir of all things, Jesus. Though the trouble that's prophesied for 22 chapters is Babylon and it's local so far, the prophet suddenly swings into the end times when all the trouble is over and Jesus is ruling. Great chapter here. This is the transition chapter. Let's look at 23 again. Do you see any comparisons between the prophets of Jeremiah's day and the ones we see around us today? I didn't say all the prophets that are calling themselves prophets today are this way. But there are things and going on and people that I've seen and heard of and actually heard that remind me of Jeremiah's day. Here's what I found. Here's my list as he went through his list here. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. It's just things that they're thinking about. And they're thinking about them deeply and carefully, but it's still just their thinking. It'd be better for these, quote, prophets to be saying, you know, I feel deeply about this. Let me share just what I feel. And then we would accept that. But instead they want to say, this is God speaking to you. Okay. They were saying, the Lord says you will have peace. Well, they turned out to be wrong. They didn't have peace. God didn't send these prophets, but they ran anyway. I'm just giving you the Jeremiah list and telling you these are the things I see in the prophets of today. God didn't speak to these prophets, but they prophesied. I had a dream. I had a dream. You ever heard that one? Oh, be careful. Now, I have dreams. I can't remember. Seems like I have had a dream or two that really did turn out to be a good dream, that it came to pass. But I would never have asked anyone to depend on that happening or to worry about it. Anybody can have a dream. A person may not even be spiritual at all and have a right dream. I don't depend on people's dreams, and you should not either. People forget, says Jeremiah, people forget God's name because of these dreams. They don't even want to listen to Scripture anymore. They want to go to this dreamer and that dreamer and get it interpreted somehow. Or maybe they had a dream and they want it interpreted. And they're just going around looking for that instead of digging into the Word of God and finding what God has said about a situation. Tell your dream. Let the person of the Word speak the Word. That's what Jeremiah says. Go ahead and tell your dream, but let the person of the word speak the word. It's like comparing straw to grain. How about the prophet? The prophets keep saying, the Lord says. God spoke to me. You'll hear it often today. God spoke to me about this. You know, I don't want to write it all off because every once in a while there's a person that God is speaking to. I want to be very careful, but God speaks through His Word. Quite often a scripture will come to mind and that person will start quoting the scripture and say, God said this to me, meaning this verse just kind of came alive to me. And maybe it was the right verse for the right situation. No question, these things happen. God is alive. But be careful about persons telling you the Lord says. Jeremiah says, stop saying this is the oracle of the Lord when it's not. All right, let's go to number 12 of the Jeremiah questions. It's Jeremiah 25, verses 30 to 38. After Jeremiah is told to go visit some kings of the area, and he does it, he addresses a message then to the entire earth, or so it seems. When is this prophecy going to take place? Are you there in Jeremiah 25? I'm asking you this because I'm not there yet. I'm just stalling for time to get to, all right, now I'm there. You should be there. Verses 30 to 38. You can see if you have the New American Standard Bible and many Bibles, that the print changes when a prophecy is given. There's history and then there's prophecy, or it's almost like a poetic thing, but it's the Word of God. 30 to 38. When is this all going to take place? And I always look for clues before I make that conclusion. Here are the clues I found. It says, the Lord will roar against all the inhabitants of the earth. That line tells you something. All the inhabitants of the earth. Then it says, the Lord has a controversy with the nations. Again, general, inclusive. He's entering into judgment with all flesh. Well, he said it three times now. And those slain by the Lord on that day will be from one end of the earth to the other. Oh my, I'd say that's pretty clear. Could this be anything but the final judgment executed by the Son of God himself at his return? We don't like to talk about our bloody religion. We like to talk about Islam's and Rome's in the Middle Ages and some places today. There's a lot of blood that religion sheds. And we say, well, we're not into that. And we're not. We don't do that now, but Jesus will. Vengeance still belongs to the Lord, and he's coming to execute it. And it's not going to be pretty at all. At all. Jeremiah 25, 30 to 38. If you ever want to prove to yourself that our Jesus is not what people say he is. You see, he's many things in many times. Right now, it is grace, grace, grace. And he seems to let people get away with a lot of things, but it's coming, folks. Judgment is coming. It's coming. How about Jeremiah 29? Verse 7, a couple more pages over. You'll notice I didn't find as much in Jeremiah as I did in Isaiah. When we get to Ezekiel, it's going to go the other way again. I've been there now and been studying it, and oh my, oh my. Anyway, let's get back to 29:7. It says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will have welfare. Now, here's one of those places, and it's a very specific thing for specific people and time, but here's one I believe, and there are many, where you can extract something for yourself. We too, like Israel, are a people who have not come to our final destination. We sojourn in a strange land. In this case, they were exiles because they were prisoners. They had been conquered. You know, before they came to Israel, they were pilgrims. Now they're pilgrims in a different way. But we sojourn in a strange land. Whatever the nation of our pilgrimage, I guess many people thought, well, if I just get to America, I'm so sorry. We disappointed many of you. I'm so sorry, and I've just got to tell the rest of you that haven't got here, if I'm speaking to people all over the world that speak English and just can't wait to get to America, if you're coming for any spiritual reasons, you probably need to stay where you are. Probably do better off not coming here. It's not a totally evil nation, but it's heading that direction. Yeah, we're pilgrims here too. And there's not a place on earth, folks, where we are not truly pilgrims. A lot of people have gotten comfortable, but they weren't supposed to. In persecuted lands, we are hated and abused, killed. Prosperous free lands, we're tempted to love this world too much and miss out on what is truly important. But while we're here, wherever we are to bless the place of our abode. We're to pray for it. Pray for your nation. When God hears and answers our prayers for our nation, we too get blessed in the entire process. That's what God was telling his people that were in Babylon as captives, go ahead and pray for Babylon and Babylonia. Pray for the emperor that took you captive. Yeah, we're a different kind of people, Judeo-Christian folks. We're different. I hope you understand that we are so different. That's what I pick up from the passage anyway, with no desire to take away from it the literal. You know me, the local meaning of the passage, that Israel will be carried captive into Babylon for so many years that they might as well make the best of it. And they did. Jeremiah 29:11. Let's do this right now. This will be our last one. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Now, I just told you it's okay to extract certain things if it fits in your Christian experience. Everybody wants verse 11. Everybody. This is one of those go-to verses of the prosperity preachers. I noticed it's used extensively throughout the Christian world. People just lifting that verse up and saying, that's mine. The context is, though, in this passage, and context is so important. First, serious judgment. They're in the middle of serious judgment right now. They've been taken out of their land, away from their homes. There's been death around them. Not everybody made it to Babylon, you know. First, punishment. First, you blew it. Because of that, you're going to have an extended time when everything is going to seem strange to you. You'll desire the land I gave you, but you won't be able to have it. You'll wish for the old ways, but they're all gone. The temple and all of its beauty and meaning will be lost to you. This comes first in the passage. But hang in there, says God. I have a plan for you that is so good. Things will get back in order one day. And the reason, it's in the next verses, is that you're going to be seeking me with all of your heart when you realize just how bad it is you have been. And when I'm confident that your heart is right, all the blessings are going to flow. Now, if that's the meaning of today's users of this verse, things are bad, I've got to repent, and God's going to bless me if I do, oh, fine. But I fear this is just a blanket promise by a TV-type preacher to make his generic audience feel that everything's going to be all right regardless. And how do you know who you're talking to on television? Really, even in a big congregation, how do you know who you're talking to? And you're making a promise to all those folks that God's got good things in store for them because they're such good people and he loves them all. Not if they're living in sin and planning to continue to live in sin. You don't make those kind of promises to those people. Correction is in order. No correction, no blessing. No repentance from the heart, no blessing. Tell it all, men of God. Tell it all. Amen? Oh, I'll say amen if you don't. God bless you today. And let's see what I want to tell you. I want to tell you that we have so many things on this website that will be a blessing to you. I believe it. If you need a blessing, there's other corrective prophecies. There's other words from the scripture. All the way through the Bible we go at one point. We're going there again right now. I talk about the Quran in one place and Muhammad. And just browse, will you? Will you browse through there? Check out my store. Just click on store. There's a new book out there at the top about the Jehovah's Witnesses I'd like you to have. Check in from time to time, from day to day. Just see what's going on here at the Hackberry House of chosen website of sermonaudio.com. And I will talk to you, Lord willing, very soon. Bye-bye.